Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is the gospel lesson. Here's the sermon title. You should definitely say this one to your neighbor. In fact, you should go ahead and text people about this one. Put it on Facebook. Tweet it. Just write these words. I'm not going back. People wonder what you're talking about. Listen to the sermon, and you'll be able to tell them. That's what I want us to focus on today. I'm not going back. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Does anyone even know how many days it's been since we've begun to shelter in place? I'm confused. The days are all running together for me. I'm kind of just hoping today's Sunday. We've been at this for a while. And I know there's people that are struggling more than me. I know there are worse case scenarios. I know that there have been pandemics and plagues in the past, and this is not the same. But we're dealing with this now, and it is a struggle. I was just talking to my neighbor last night. We were over 6 feet apart, and we were just kind of processing and talking about some of the struggles, what it used to be like, and what's it going to be like in the future. We're wondering, are we going to be able to send our kids back to school in the fall? What's going to happen in the financial realm? Are they going to find a cure for this? And we're dealing with the issues now, and we're struggling. And as we've been struggling, I find myself saying this, and I bet you've said it too. I can't wait to get back to normal. Looking forward to that time where we get back to the way things used to be. That's the way I talk. I've heard other people talk that way. I bet you've talked that way too. Now, I don't know if we need to make too big a deal out of one of those lines that maybe is just kind of a throwaway of line, I want to get back to normal, but today, I'm just wondering, as we look at this reading, do we? Do we want to go back to normal? In the gospel lesson, Jesus says, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. Now the disciples don't know what Jesus is talking about, but you and I do know what Jesus is talking about. We're standing on this side of the resurrection. We know that that very night Jesus would be taken from his disciples. He would be murdered, dead, buried in the tomb. Disciples would not see him. But then early Sunday morning, not even 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead, and he just started showing up wherever he wanted, bringing his resurrected presence before people, and they saw him. Now, here's the thing. Jesus showed himself to some, I forget the exact number, but I think it's over 1,000 disciples. Anybody know off the top of your head? Is it? Okay. He showed himself to many different disciples. And here's the thing. Those disciples went out and they told people about Jesus. Some of it's written right here in this book. And you know what? Nowhere does any disciple say, you know, I wish we could go back to the way it was. No one says, I wish the crucifixion didn't happen. No one wants to go back. Because see, faith always looks forward. Faith sees Jesus appear again. And for that reason, the Christian does not go backwards. We're on a journey. This is a process. And I find this interesting. The disciples hear Jesus speak, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. And they want to know what he's talking about. What is he saying? A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. What does he mean? We don't know what he's talking about. So then Jesus says, is this what you're asking yourselves? What did I mean by a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Well, as a matter of fact, Jesus, that's exactly what we were wondering. Thank you. What do you have to say? Jesus says, truly, truly. Okay, we're in for it. That's two trulies, two amens. Here's the answer. Jesus says, you're going to weep and lament. World's going to rejoice. You're going to weep and lament. You're going to have sorrow. It's not really the kind of answer we were looking for. What do you mean by this little while? What's going to happen in the future? When are they going to come up with a cure for coronavirus? When are they going to come up with the vaccine? When are people going to get back to work? When's the economy going to get straightened out again? But Jesus doesn't give us those kind of answers. He does not give us a proposition. He gives us a process. And the process he gives us is a cross. We're going to bear a cross. Weep and lament. The world will rejoice. There will be sorrow. Jesus says it more than one place. You want to follow me? Okay. Here's what that means. You take up a cross daily. Then come follow. That's the process. That's the process. It's a cross. You take a look at the Bible, actually, and you find out that plagues and pestilences and pandemics are not new. And as a general rule, for God's people, God uses these circumstances to lead people to repentance. Usually it's because there's something that needs to be seen that isn't being seen. God allows for a plague when he wants to sort of put people in check, or so to speak. How do I want to say this? That there's some sort of excess that needs to be reined in. There's some sort of wrong that needs to be acknowledged. Things aren't right. What people are investing in, what they think is so important, God wants to show his people, listen, it's not. You're created for more. And so, repentance. Luke chapter 13. The people have been checking their news apps, and they've been told that Pontius Pilate has been mixing some of the Jewish Galileans' blood with their sacrifices, with their pagan sacrifices. They talk about another news story. A tower in Siloam fell down, killed 18 people. And Jesus says, now, is it because these people were worse sinners? Is that why they died like this? And Jesus says, no. But unless you too repent, you will likewise perish. Jesus takes this problem and he says, repent. That's the process. We are on a journey. The journey, most of the journey is through the wilderness. Most of the journey means we bear a cross and we repent. That's the process. But see, Jesus doesn't only give us a process. You will weep and lament. The world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will turn into joy. Jesus doesn't just give us a process, he gives us a promise. Your sorrow has no other choice. It must turn to joy. Pain has a purpose. It's joy. People keep asking, what's the purpose of what's going on with the coronavirus? I don't know. I can't speak for the outside. I can't speak for those outside the church, but I do know this for you and for me. The purpose is joy. That's what's going on. And you know it's got to be true because we've seen what God does with crosses. It always turns to resurrection. And now we know God is not allowing some sort of pandemic to put us in our place or to really kind of give it to us. The purpose is always to turn into our joy. He even gives us a Mother's Day illustration a week early. He says, you know how when it's time for a woman to give birth, she's got some sorrow. But when that baby's born, the anguish passes away. And there is simply joy that there is a new life in the world. St. Paul says, this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So here's the thing. When you see your problem, you look at your problem and you say, but I know the promise. This problem has no other choice. It's got to turn to my joy. This is good news. This is such good news. I think I'm going to go back and watch this video myself. Because now we know we have an answer to why does God allow this to happen. It's to turn into our joy. And so again, I just wonder, do we really want to go back to normal? Do we want to go backwards? Do we want to go to life before the pandemic? Do we want to go back to things the way they were when you kept saying something's got to change, something's got to change, something's got to change, and now something has changed? But really, do we want to go back to the ulcers? Do you want to go back to all the loss of sleep? Do you want to go back to where it was when our attention was scattered to so many different places? I don't. Maybe this is an opportunity to reprioritize. Maybe repentance means that we take a look again and see what really matters. Because I tell you what, I'm just speaking personally, but it has been a good thing that I have been home more with my family. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's important. It's been clear to me that it is important that I be present with my wife and children. That has been made very clear to me. I wonder what's being made clear to you. Maybe you've seen it in the news. They have these pictures of these major metropolitan cities before Corona and after. And before coronavirus, there's the smog. And then afterwards, there's this blue skies. Now, I know that there's a really good chance once all the restrictions are lifted, things are just going to go back to normal. But do they have to? Do we want them to? So come here. I know you're in another house somewhere, but come here. I'm just wondering, can we make a resolution, you and me? Can we be resolved not to go back? Next week, we are hoping, Lord willing, to ease back into worship here at church. Let's not go back to where it was before. I mean, it was good before, but where are we headed? Here's a for instance. Once the social distancing has been lifted, it would be a crying shame if people still experience social distancing in our church. What does it mean to go forward in our fellowship together? How do we make sure that everyone participates and feels like they belong? Because one thing is for sure, we are seeing the effects on our humanity with the social distancing. The church should be the place where we know real fellowship. You know, in the past, we used to take worship for granted. We used to complain about things like when the worship service was, or maybe there were some hymns that we didn't particularly like, or I don't know. We found something to sort of take our attention. What if we don't go back there and instead we focus on the fact that Christ is present in a way He's not present this way anywhere else on the world. And when we are in the midst of other Christians, other baptized believers, we are in the presence of temples of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's what we want to focus on, so that we can't even really, those other things just don't matter. Let's not go back. Now, I know it's not going to be easy. I know that we might falter. We might struggle. We might fail. But let's at least agree that we don't want to go back. Let's pray. And let's encourage one another. beloved. The theme that I've invited us to consider this year, sometimes a little bit more overtly than, and sometimes not so overtly, the theme is all in. We're invested. Being present in an age of distraction. We all know that's good. That's what we want. I promise you this. You can't be present looking backward. We're going forward together. And Jesus promises you this. Whatever we're going through now, we will see him. He keeps showing up. Our sorrow will always turn into joy. Until that day when we open our eyes into eternal joy, still we have this promise. Our sorrow will turn into joy. So we're not going backwards. We're going forwards. By the way, no one will take your joy from you. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.